where we see an importance for them to do that for ourselves as well. In terms of the mass participation program, Madam Chair, I'm not going to read line by line, but just this just gives you some of the statistics of, you know, how far the programs together that the department has delivered on with Love Life or through Love Life programs. And these were 312,000 youths were reached at events, of which 239,000 sports participants completed the Love Life Challenge program, and 38% sports participants received support from the Love Life contact centers, and over 400,000 magazines were distributed to youth in sport, at the school sport championships, gymnastics, indigenous games, and also within that magazine, they also for had a profile of the life of Senzo Maiwa, who was a Botswana player, late Senzo Maiwa. And there were 21,000 youth aged between 11 and 24 that were reached through the radio, through the 27 community stations and the nine SABC ALS stations on topics linked to Love Life programs and sport, and about 800,000 through the social media platforms. There were 316 school sport coaches that were trained through the Love Life Coach for Life programs, which is aligned to the South African coaching program. Models were retained as motivators for youth in sport through the Love Life outreach programs. In terms of the youth camp programs, 1,768 youth participant sailblazers were trained as sailblazers during the 2019 youth camps in partnership with the former Department of Sport and the Provincial Sports Department. And 80 youth leaders were elected to be the first sailblazer movement leaders. Next slide. And this is the Move for Health campaign, Madam Chair, where Love Life has been a partner. Mostly out of school youth participating in the health walks. And the events were organized by the ground breakers at different Love Life centers. Next slide. And these were some of the other mass participation events that the Love Life had delivered through the SLA that is signed with the department. Sport for Social Change and Development, Recreation Leagues, a total youth participants were registered in various recreational teams. Most of these events, again, organized by the groundbreakers. In community sports, there were 19 DSAC-funded groundbreakers were placed at the Y centers across Love Life, focusing on sports development. And 17 sports clubs were established by youth with complete club constitutions and actively participating in the local leagues of netball, basketball, and volleyball. And 6 Love Life Y Center sports facilities are being renovated to meet the Sports and Recreation Events Act of 2010 requirements. Next slide. Okay, our interaction with Love Life and concerns raised, Madam Chair, was due to the budget cuts on the transfers and subsidies, we had to reprioritize the budget for Love Life and in terms of what they can deliver. And the contribution of the sports budget, because, Madam Chair, if you look at Love Life, they receive funding from ourselves. They also receive funding from the Department of Social Development, and they have other sponsors that they raise sponsorship from on their own through the private sector. So the contribution of the sports budget, we saw, must also translate into improved operations and cooperation on the implementation of the Active Nations programs within communities. We also get, you know, we from Love Life, they continue to give us reports on a quarterly basis, both financial and women's information. And for us, the concern we've raised with them on a number of occasions is that the budget split between the cost of employment, which is 35%, and program implementation, which is 55%, and overhead, which is 10%, it requires a reconsideration in favor of ensuring that program delivery is given more allocations. Next slide. I think that's the end of the presentation, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, JJ. According to our now agenda, let's get to welcome CEO that you must follow suit in your briefing. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members of the committee. Good morning, Deputy Minister, DDG of the department, and other colleagues within the department. Madam Chairperson, before we go into our presentation as Love Life, please allow me to convey the apology of our Deputy Chairperson, Ms. Doreen Corsi, and our Deputy Chairperson, Dr. J.J. Saran. They were supposed to be part of the meeting this morning. However, both of them are still recovering from COVID, and late last night, talking to the chairperson, she advised that they had both coincidentally been to reviews with their doctors, and they needed to go for physiotherapy this morning within the time frame that we had set aside for this meeting. So please, Madam Chair, allow me to convey their apologies. So this morning, Madam Chair, we're going to...
Yes, Honourable. Sorry, Chair, maybe the CEO, she's not aware. Can we see her face? And then she'll just want to see her exactly while speaking to... I think it's a culture of this committee that we see her face, and then we see her face. Thanks.
Hello, Honourable. Can you do that? I'm trying to see if this will work, Chair, with the presentation. Okay, this is what happens.
Thanks. Yes, Dr. Dina. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Linda. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just wait a few seconds for the screen to start sharing. So, Honourable Chairperson, we will take you through briefly Google Eye as an organisation for the sake of those members who may not have been at the previous meetings where we came through to present to the committee. Then I will hand over to my colleague, the head of programs, Ms. Beryl Traore, who will take us through the actual programmatic interventions. And we'll end it off with the head of finance taking us through the financial line. So the next slide, please, Bill. Next slide. So, Chairperson, our vision is to be a leader in youth health promotion, where we look at a healthy young person in South Africa as being one who has a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. So it's our mission statement to promote social activism for healthy lives, the healthy living, active lifestyles, and HIV consciousness among young people using sport, advocacy, information, education and awareness campaigns, as well as behavioral change interventions and programs. Love Life started in 1999, and over that period we have evolved from being purely an HIV awareness campaign to be an organization that is wanting to talk about all matters that are related to the overall well-being of young people. We are at the end of our five-year strategy for 2017 to 2021, and in the next couple of weeks, we will be getting sign-off from the board for the strategy that will position the organization going forward from 2022 to 2026. but we still see ourselves, even in the future, as an organization that will continue to focus on the overall well-being of young people in South Africa. This next slide is really a pictorial representation as to what we have been doing from 1999 up to 2020 as an organization that's been looking over at the overall wealth of health of young people, how we have moved from getting South Africa talking to being able to find a niche to continue program implementation for young people in the using digital media in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. So those are really the time frames of what we have done in that period. Our age group, the next slide, our program participants have predominantly been young people between the ages of 10 and 24 within the LSM of 2 to 8. The gender makeup being 46% male, 54% female. But with the with the previous year of 2020-2021, where we were doing a lot of program implementation on social media and engagement via community radio stations, those barriers of LSM were almost falling away, and we were able to engage with young people that have access, to social media during the period where we could not have face-to-face interventions and be able to engage with young people in that way. Our next slide talks to our governance structure. We have got a board of trustees. That's according to the trustees, we have a maximum of 12 trustees at any point in time. The majority of the trustees are independent trustees. So it's only the CEO of the organization and the head of finance who are executives within LoveLife. Our trustees serve for 2 terms of 3 years each. But our trust deed does allow us that in a year where we've got trustees whose terms are coming to an end, one of them can be requested, and if they agree, to serve for a further period of 18 months so that there can be adequate transfer of institutional and governance knowledge to the trustees that would be remaining and are in most instances trustees that would have arrived after the ones whose terms of trusteeship are coming to an end. So that is what our governance structure looks like. Of course, she joins the board around this time next year. So she's still in the first 3 years of her tenure an eligible 2 terms as the board chairperson. And then in addition to a board of trustees that is predominantly independent, we have got external auditors who audit our financials on an annual basis and issue an opinion as to the fairness and of what they find within the financials. Then we've also got an outsourced internal audit function that's constantly looking at our processes and internal controls and raising recommendations where they find any weaknesses in the same to ensure that the manner in which we conduct business is one that has got an environment of strong controls around it. Next slide, please. Our programmatic and interactive working experience and or have had an opportunity to grow. And the ultimate goal is to ensure that every young person experiences all of the programs and has a positive life-changing experience that allows them to power their future, that allows them to dream, that allows them to set goals for themselves. So our programmatic offering is divided into 3. We've got what we refer to as active lifestyle. We have got what we refer to as healthy lifestyle, and then we have a youth leadership program. And underpinning everything that happens in those programs, next slide, Bill, is our psychosocial support, which is implemented through the Love Life Contact Center. So the Contact Center is really a center that is manned by trained Love Life counselors, where young people and their parents contact the contact center by sending a please call me to a number, and the counselor then calls them back and takes them through the first level of counseling. And the Love Life counselors also provide psychosocial support to ministerial nursery holders. So we try to engage with the ministerial nursery holders to ensure that they are able to balance the requirements of the bursary with the academic commitments as well. We find that in some instances, parents of those ministerial bursary holders are not keen for us to talk to the holder of the bursary, but where we are able to have access to the young people, we then are able to find out where they need additional psychosocials. So if you look at the overall youth health program package that we have, the Healthy Lifestyle package is what is predominantly funded by the Department of Health, who is one of our funders. So the Department of Social Development that the DDG referred to earlier on used to be a funder until the 2015-2016 fiscal year, and they are no longer funding Love Life. However, the Department of Health could continue to be a funder and is our biggest funder, and they are funding what we refer to as the Healthy Lifestyle Package, where we engage with young people around issues of comprehensive sexuality education, where we work with the department in creating adolescent and youth-friendly services, and then with our community-focused interventions. On the Active Lifestyles program, which is the one that's funded predominantly by the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, are the programs that are listed there, which the DDG has already spoken to and which the head of programs will go into in further detail. And then we've got the youth leadership program that's looking at youth empowerment, a volunteer program, and skills development. And then underpinning those are brand and media, which promotes and sustains our program messaging through media platforms, as well as the psychosocial support, which I talked to in the previous slide. Our implementers, the next slide, Bill. Our implementers are referred to as groundbreakers, and these are really young people between the ages of 18 and 25 who work together with volunteers that we refer to as Mpintjis. The groundbreakers are on a stipend, while the Mpintjis do that on a voluntary basis. As an organization, we believe in the power of young people to change their own circumstances. And we found over the years that the peer mentor approach is really what works with young people. We will find these young people based at health facilities, at sports hubs, at our youth centers, and at other hubs. The Active Lifestyle Groundbreakers are based at sports hubs and communities across the country. And we consult with the provincial Department of Sports, Arts and Culture in where they need to be placed, while the Healthy Lifestyle Groundbreakers are placed at clinics in consultation with the provincial Department of Health. The next slide really talks to where the groundbreakers that are placed in each of the provinces, the number of groundbreakers that are in each of the provinces. And I really do want to emphasize that we are only in 200 communities. So it's quite possible that you've not seen groundbreakers within your community as a member of parliament. It just means that in that particular community, we have not placed groundbreakers, because as I've indicated, it's always in consultation with the department where you would find groundbreakers. So the number of 77, which is on the last column, is really those groundbreakers that are not funded by any of our government funders, but are privately funded by corporates and other funders such as the UN or international NGOs that we do work with. So they have got a number of 77, and the majority of those are in the Limpopo and in the Northern Cape. And the link of what we do to the national and global development goals. It's important that what we do is aligned to what government is expecting of us. And it's also important that what we do is aligned to the national goals. And those government and national goals would not be possible without social mobilization. So the partnership between government, private sector, and civil society is one that needs to be aligned together, working in one direction to either fight poverty or to achieve the sustainable development goals. And so by adopting global goals and linking those to the National Development Plan, as well as the Sport and Recreation Plan, it helps Love Life to align our objectives with government to focus on what really matters for our future. The next slide, I think I can skip because the DDG did already speak to it. So in the interest of time, I think I can skip that slide and then hand over to the head of programs to then take us through what the further details around the mandate from the department.
Good morning, everybody. I hope it's okay that I show my face after, just so that I don't disrupt the presentation. Thank you so much. My name is Beatrice Traore.
Why not yet see your face?
Okay. So should I do it now? Good morning, everybody.
Beautiful face.
Thank you.
Our mind needs to be beautiful.
Okay. So on the one column, we just put all the objectives from the National Sport and Recreation Plan. And then on the right-hand side, we've just put all our programs that directly link to what we want to achieve in that National Sports and Recreation Plan. So for us to improve the health and well-being of the nation by providing mass participation or opportunities through active recreation, we have the Move for Life events, the Y Center Fit Days. So those are days where we have boot camps, aerobics, and those kind of activities happening at our Y centers. And then we have recreation leagues and the Love for Life Challenge at all of these events, so that we're constantly linking opportunities to learn about health and making sure that young people are healthy and they have a clear path for whatever their future holds. And then in terms of maximizing access to sport, recreation, physical education in schools, we have groundbreakers that are placed at schools, where they're part of the school sport program to encourage learners to participate in sport and recreation and increase the number of schools benefiting from the school sport program. So we're very deliberate when we're putting young people in at schools when we have our consultation at provincial level. We try to put groundbreakers in schools that are not part of the school sports program, so that those we can extend our reach across only the schools that are participating within the school sports program at the department. And then to promote participation in sport and recreation by initiating and implementing targeted campaigns. We have community level Big Walk, National Recreation Day, Global Move for Health Day activities hosted at our Y centers. And this is really important because a lot of the times you will have a national day and it will we'll have a National Recreation Day, for example, and that's happening at the union buildings. But then at community level, that kind of movement or those rumbles are not felt. So that's why on the same day, we would have something happening at our Y Center, so that at community level, that message around, I choose to be active, how about you, the link between non-communicable diseases and physical inactivity are also shared at community level. And so that there's this broader reach beyond something being held in one place as a national event. Increased levels of national unity and socially cohesive communities. We have Born Free Dialogue at community level where we try to foster social cohesion. Whatever the topics that we cover, we try to use that link between sport and being an attractor. So So normally we'd have a Born Free dialogue linked to a Sport for Change event. And Sport for Change events are always linked to a Sport for Change event that says kickballs and drop beers. So something around, you know, young people not drinking alcohol at an early age and so forth. So it's always linked in that matter, in that way. But also what's very important for us when we doing what we are doing as Love Life in line with what the mandate is for the department, we remember that we are trying to build a nation of winning young people. So yes, it's good to have young people coming through to our Y centers and participating in recreation activities and all of that. But it's also very important for Love Life to make sure that every young person that passes through our program leaves complete, creative, and connected. So if you see a young person that's playing football at our Y center in Groblersdorp, and you know he has talent, that young person, we have to connect them to a team, you know, make sure that they get the right kind of training so that it can move from being a recreational player to someone who is playing professional or semi-professional. I'll give you a real-life example. We also have this program where we have ex-sports stars, whether it's players or administrators, that do motivational talks for Love Life. So we had Fabian McCarthy come and do a motivational talk, and there was also they played football. And you noticed a young man by the name of Marco Slinger, who was also an entry at Love Life, but he would play recreationally at our Y Center. And he took him for trials in Kimberley, from Groblersdorp to Kimberley, because he saw something in that young man. And today he's playing in the GLAAD Africa League for the Northern Cape Hungry Lions. So when we display that Love Life programmatic interventions in that Venn diagram, you know, we know that a lot of young people participate in our programs that are healthy lifestyle, active lifestyle, youth leadership development, but there must be constantly that link to say the ones that have all of these things come together for them, who are they? What do they look like? An athlete that's playing in Japan or South Africa that has gone through a Love Life program, what makes that young person a different young person to someone who hasn't? So that's what constantly goes through our minds and into our workings when we design our programs as Love Life. So this is just talking about, although we don't have a mandate that's linked specifically to arts and culture, Love Life Y Centers have always been hubs for arts and culture activities, whether it's young people doing graffiti or learning some kind of art skill, or it's around performance. So we've always had a package that includes where we have our holiday programs, and we have some kind of arts and culture activities going on there. And we've also kind of similarly discovered a young man who has been performing at our Y Centers, and he's blowing up a bit in the Northern Cape. So we're very proud of those kind of success stories. So in terms of the National Development Plan for 2030, these four areas is what our mandate with the National Department of Health covers. So I won't go into too much detail, but I just really wanted everybody to see how all of these things link together for love, for a strong program for young people. So where it talks about raised life expectancy, I've also just put where we have the Love Life programs that speak to those things. It's around SRHR education, sexual reproductive health and life education, teen pregnancy program, health talks and so forth. And then progressively improved TB prevention. There we have our Love for Life challenge included because it has messaging around that. And then there's also health talks, TB screening. We try to take health services to the communities. So if we have a youth health festival, there's sports being played there or recreation activities. There's people testing for HIV. So there's that comprehensive package. And we in communities talking to them about their health and what health really means. Because a healthy young person who's jobless is not a healthy young person. That is constantly on their mind. And we also want them to know that there is psychosocial support in way of the Love Life Contact Center. And then this just talks around our linkage to the sustainable development goals, excuse me, and just trying to put together why all of these plans and these goals have to come together in some way, and who are those people that are going to bring those things together. As Doc had mentioned in the beginning slides around the link between civil society, government, and corporates to make sure that we do get these goals aligned and people are working towards doing these things. So under the good health and well-being, we've got four areas that we specifically target. And for this sitting, I think the most important will be around 3.4, where we reduce the third premature mortality from non-communicable diseases. And that's when we do our Move for Life events and our Sport for Change. We're really saying take control of your health and what that means, you know, if you're sitting and not being active, what that means for your body. And then around SDG 13, we've also just put three of those around reducing all forms of violence, and that's through our Sport for Change program, which has a strong link to violence in general, and then also just to gender-based violence, where we know we are having a serious challenge as a country. And then we also around sustainably reduce corruption and bribery in all forms. It's in our government governance as an organization, how we do what we do and how we relate to our partners and funders and how we are accountable to those partners and funders. And then around develop effective, accountable, and transparent institutions, and those two speak to each other as the example I've just spoken about. So in terms of our reach, so I'm specifically speaking around the financial year 2020-21. So Love Life has a national presence and operates at 18 Y centers and 182 sports hubs across the country. In those sports hubs, we're talking to municipal facilities. We talk about Love Life buildings as well, and schools in some instances. And these facilities are typically found in peri-urban communities where the youth are at greatest risk with extremely limited access to opportunities. So then again, we are talking about being complete, creative, and connected. That's why we Love Life comes in. We employ 200 peer educators that we call groundbreakers that implement specifically the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture programs. So when the DDG spoke, she spoke about 19. That was in the beginning. I think that was in 2013 where we had 19, and then that moved to 119. Then it moved to 219, and then when the funding cut came last year, it moved from 219 back to 200. And so we had to remove some groundbreakers from some communities because of that. And then the GBs are paid a stipend and recruited from communities where they live so that they have a connection to wanting to make a difference in that community. And then these GBs are supervised by coordinators who act like their mentors so that, you know, when a young person is putting together Sport for Change and you're saying to them, okay, this is your budget. You know, how do you spend within budget? How do you decide what's important for your events and so forth? So that's very, very important for these young people to have that experience with that, with a mentor. And then the program objectives is just around development of holistic athletes, increased knowledge and awareness around their health among young people through sport and recreational activities, social cohesion in communities where we work, reduced risk of non-communicable diseases among young people through increased physical activity, and then the provision of psychosocial support to young athletes to improve mental health. I think for a long time, people have felt, oh, I mean, if a young person is playing sports, they're doing well and all of that. But during these Olympics, when we saw Simone Biles and all of them, and Naomi, the tennis player, actually having mental breakdowns, and then you ask yourself, wow, a young person that's at their prime can still go through that. And even when we communicate with the ministerial bursaries, you know, the one young lady said, you know, I feel a little bit lost because and all I know is playing, I think she plays chess or something, and so she was just saying, you know, she's just trying to navigate what that means for her not to be able to play. So it's really, really important, and at every event, we make sure that we push the psychosocial support number so that young athletes can reach out and get the assistance that they need. This is just speaking to our theory of change. What's our ultimate impact? Why do we do what we do? What do we need to do to get to where we want to be as an organization and the change that we want to see in the country as a whole? Then our program package is divided into four. It's the recreation program, the nation building program, and the life coach program, and then the health program. And then under each of those has their own activities that feed that the bigger objective. So the Playful Life program is just around getting young people active. As many as possible, getting them out there, making them play, having something regular for them to engage their time with. And so we have, depending on the Y Center, we'll have soccer, volleyball, basketball, tennis, netball, table tennis in some Y Centers, swimming, but swimming is kind of not had to, we had not done that for a while now, but it was a program that we were doing in KZN. Dance, Indigenous Games was really important for us at stage there at Y Center level. And then with the recreation leagues, we were just saying, you know, there's empty spaces in a lot of communities. How can we play? You know, what are the things that we need? You know, for us to play, we don't need a ball. We can make our own ball. We can make our own rules. But it's just around playing constantly and not just in one day events, but having continuous play and what that does for a young person, teaching them responsibility and also around their physical health. Move for Life events are the one-day events that are organized by Groundbreakers, where it's around mass participation. And then we're also trying to say to them, okay, come, this is happening, there's music and all of that. But then when they're there, we say, okay, you know, on a Wednesday we have boot camp. You can be part of the youth, the boot camp. We have aerobics at our Y students, and we're trying to lure them into those programs that happen consistently, including the recreation weeks. And this is just a picture of some young people in Bulbo after an event. Then the Sports for Change events are very, very community linked. So a groundbreaker has to look at what some of the challenges are in that community. And then they use sport. So normally they'll get every community has that sports club that the whole community loves, and they'll go out to go and watch them on a Sunday afternoon. So we would get those teams to come and play, and then while they are there, we'll have groundbreakers doing like a silent protest with placards up to say, you know, we say no to violence, and you can have a peace cup in the Eastern Cape and up in the Western Cape around the Cape Flats. We're challenging the community to look at these things and some of the social challenges that we feel by the way we interact with each other. And then the fit days, those are the ones that happen at Y Centers, where the aerobics and so forth. Each Y Center has their own day, whether it's a Wednesday or a Friday. This is just a picture around. This is one of the sports for this was a 5 kilometer walk that took place before the Sport for Change, where they were talking about saying no to violence. In the nation building programs, we do with the Department of Sports and Recreation, where we do the national youth camps, and we put together the manual and the program and what young people will experience there, and then also give them opportunities or support them in other initiatives that they do in their communities once they've left camp. And then the life coach development, this is specifically around using coaches. I mean, we all know who play sports, how much our coach means to us, how much their word means to us. And so just having that conversation with coaches to say, you know, you are so much more to these young people, and helping them being able to carve what they need to say about on the field of play, but also in those young people's lives, And when you have coaches, especially at community level, where you say, you know, kick him in the shins just so that we get the ball, for them to realize that what you're teaching that young person, it might be for you just to win that game, but what's the lasting effect that you're leaving with that young person? So that's what this program is trying to achieve. These are some of the community and school coaches that we had in the Western Cape. This just also speaks a bit more about that. So then we'll just, I'm just going to give an overview of performance in the 2020-21 financial year. But as everybody knows, that this financial year was crazy. You know, we were hit with something that I think a lot of people felt, okay, it'll be gone in a month. But when COVID-19 came, as young people say, it came and it showed us blame. So we, in the beginning of it, we said to ourselves, look, the first thing we need to do is make groundbreakers understand that this is how they're going to operate in this time. So you can't do sports at schools, but what can a groundbreaker do? You know, so there were some of the groundbreakers that were there that would help with screening of young people that as they come in and just being an active part of that. I mean, when they see the young people that would be part of their sports programs that they would run normally at school, you know, they send them videos via WhatsApp to say, keep your training up, make sure you move, make sure you're active. So a lot of our energy last year went into how do we take what we would do face-to-face and still make sure young people are able to do what they're able to do. So we was I Choose to Be Active campaign that we've put so much work in since 2014, if I'm not mistaken. How do we make sure that people are still saying, I choose to be active, how about you? What are we going to do around that hashtag to make sure that that thing does not die? We can't lose games because of this. Let's continue to do and strengthen the things that we've been doing for the longest time. So for the Love for Life challenge, we managed to engage 46,686 participants. And there we had to also be very creative, where we took the questions that we would have in the Love for Life Challenge game, which is like a snakes and ladders kind of game, but it asked sports and recreation, health-related questions. And we had these quizzes online, where we would have these young people, jump onto our lives and answer questions and so forth. And that's how we managed to keep those numbers up. School sport coaches, trained on the Coach for Life program. We did 120 coaches last year, and that we did through Zoom and Teams, but we just didn't want the coaches to forget about us because we're unable to see them face-to-face. And then this one was a very important one for us, and especially because it gives you the heart of a young person. So when the counselors reached out to the ministerial bursary holders and just got a sense of how they're feeling, how they're coping and so forth. But it is also concerning for us when parents don't want us to speak to those young people. You know, we would have to ask ourselves why, you know, and really try to get to the bottom of that and getting parents to understand what we're trying to do with the psychosocial support and what it means to be a ministerial bursary holder and what the vision of those of the department was when they just started the ministerial bursary program. And then young athletes assisted with psychosocial support through the Love Life Contact Center. So with this one, our numbers were low. This is not the overall number of calls that we've received as an organization through our contact center, but we specifically pulled numbers around young people who participate in sport and recreation activities. And normally at our events and school sports and championships, we give out water bottles. We have face-to-face engagements with young people to say, you know, please give our, this is our number if you need to speak to someone. So we always market those at those events. And because those events couldn't happen, it was a bit difficult to access athletes. Motivation talks done by our role models to encourage physical activity. We did two very successful ones last year. And then motivational talks that were addressing specifically gender-based violence. We also did two. Then the National Youth Camp Trailblazers profile. We profiled 6 trailblazers on radio and social media last year, just to encourage campers to say, you weren't at camp, the department invested in your learning, invested in your
experience.
What are you going to take back to your community?
Sorry. You must be aware that at 10:15, you must be not on the screen.
Okay.
I'm seeing that you have got passionate about what you are saying, but we are too relaxed. Members want their own time to engage with the presentations. Quarter past 10, you must be done.
Okay, thank you. And then these are just the numbers around the Sport for Change online and the ones that we managed to do face-to-face. And then these, we engaged 131 Sport for Change, people through Sport for Change, 6,982. Hello?
Go on.
200 coaches in the Coach for Life program. And then 54 online exercise sessions, 160 community clubs established with federations, and 62 online events hosted. And then a number of, 6,196 at Sport for Change, at Move for Life events. And then we hosted a one online event for the Move for Life Day. And yes, just around the psychosocial support again and the ministerial bursary holders. And then this just gives the numbers that we are managed to do by radio, 5 radio stations and 4 SABC and 20 community radio stations. This is just our numbers on social media, talking about our followers and engagement specifically for active lifestyles. This is just an example of one of the sessions that we would have and the numbers that were reached there. These just speak to the challenges that we spoke to. And really, as I was speaking, I was already speaking around what challenges there were in this financial year. The funding cuts, the cutting in groundbreakers, and how that was reduced at community level across the provinces. And then the opportunities, I've also spoken to these around what we managed to do differently in 2020 and 2021 to ensure that we continue what we're able to do. And then we speak about funding, and I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Francina.
Thank you, Beryl and Dr. Linda. Good morning, honorable members and our colleagues at ESSEC. I'm just going to be presenting the financials and then also taking note of the 15-minute seminar as well. So LoveLife, the past 10 years or so, has been funded mainly by the Department of Health and then Arts and Culture. Before sports and recreation. So the allocation that we have received in the 2019-20 financial year was 45,000. And then in the 2020-2021 financial year, we received 32 million. This was after an 8 million cut due to COVID. And then in the current year, we are sitting with an allocation of 14 million. When we just do a history check, this 14 million was what we received in the 2017-18 financial year. And looking at the allocation that we're getting from NDOH and the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, that basically is about 88% of what LoveLife receives on an annual basis from all the funding. Can we go to the next slide, Beryl? Then in terms of the expenses, just on the allocation and how we allocate it, so we have overheads as the DG has indicated previously, our overheads for the 9 provinces, including the national office, is 10% of the funding that we receive, and then 35% goes to salaries, and then 55% goes towards our program. So the allocation that we have done here is just to allocate program-specific expenses and then also separate admin or support-related expenses. So in the 2019-20, DOH allocated was 10 million and then DSEC was 6 million. And the main allocation base that we use is overall is 40-60, but then we also have funders that will also contribute to this. The reason why we do this is because over the years, like Beryl has indicated, that we had 219 groundbreakers and then we had to cut those. So that those budget cuts also affect our normal operations. So that's where the other funders come in. But then obviously compared to the level that DOH and DSEC is contributing towards Loveless, we also have those issues where we have gaps and then they are not fully closed, mainly because of the cut and also the alignment with inflation when it comes to the annual allocations. So in the 2021, DSEC allocated about contributed 7 million, DOH 12 million towards support related expenses, and then program specific expenses were 49,000 and then 28. This includes the salaries that is part of the 35 that was previously presented by the DDD. Then in terms of the actual allocation, so the previous slide, the next slide better. So when we compare things like the one that I presented previously is according to the LoveLife financial year, which is December, and then the departmental financial year is March. So just looking at the actual allocations that we received from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, it was 45,000 in the 2019-20 financial year. And then in the 2021 financial year, we had 32,000 because of the 8 million budget cut. The other issue is when we present our financials, most of the time we find that we only have the first 3 months of the year pertaining to LoveLife and the other pertaining to the departments due to the change in the financials the year. So this is just to show that impact to say what we presented before is according to LoveLife financial year, and then this is basically speaking to the department financial year. And as Beryl indicated, the next slide, Beryl, we also have funders that supplement the budget that we get from DOH and DSEC, and those are mainly, some of them are specifically on sports-related matters only, and the others support both health-related and sports-related matters. So the schedule that is presented now is basically showing funders that are then part of the whole LoveLife funding structure. And we have Laureus there, and the FIFAs and the FIFA Legacy Trust. Those are mainly for sports-related activities. And then the other funders then fund all LoveLife activities, being health-related activities and also sports-related. So you will see, comparing this 80 million to the 112 million that we received from government funding, that we still have a long way in terms of getting almost similar funding base from other funders. But so far, this is how far we have fared in terms of seeking other funding to supplement expenditure that cannot be fully be closed by what we receive from DSEC and DOH, mainly because of the cuts that we receive on an annual basis or due to COVID that is currently also the biggest issue that also affected program implementation. So with this funders, they also contribute a portion to our salaries, and they also contribute a portion to our overhead. But then looking at the numbers and what we had for DOH, he said, we will see still a drop in emotion, but LoveLife is obviously in the process again to just ensure that we get that sustainability. But it will never really be an immediate term that will get us to a 40 million or a 60 million that we get from DOH and DSEC. So, Chairperson, that's basically a short brief of our funding space and then also how far it takes us in terms of cooperation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. CEO?
I'm here, Madam Chair.
Are you done with your...
Yes, we are. We are done. Yes.
Thank you so much. You didn't take our time, members' time. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to thank the department led by DM, thank the DG's crew, presentation by DDG, and then now presentations by Life. Now it's your time to engage with it. I'll monitor your time in order that we must finish our program today. I've seen the heads, Honorable Shongo, Honorable Malingosi, Honorable Zondi, in that order, Honorable Members, Honorable Mandomane, Honorable Dennis. Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Mshongo.
Thank you, Chair. Can I close my video?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I welcome the presentation, but I want to comment that since 2017, we took a decision as the DA that we believe that Love Life must be funded by the Health Department and Social Department. I think that must be noted. I think it has been noted when they come. I usually raise that the allocation that we are giving them must be utilized for school sports. Chair, I wanted to find out the objective. Does Love Life meet or have they achieve all four objectives of sports, four of them? And why I'm asking that, you cannot measure the outcome. How do they analyze that they've achieved all the four objectives? Chair, the presentation is not even analyzing that they have achieved their objectives. One of the issues that I wanted to find out, you know, there's a 55% for programs. And when you check their program, technically they show us their plans, active numbers of reach activities and numbers reached, but they don't give us the allocation, the budget, so to say. You have a good presentation, but you cannot analyze that activities, there are activities, numbers reached, you have those numbers, but the actual budget, how much was it allocated for that? And there's issues of, you know, in my understanding, this program is a good program for information, but it's at this department cannot sustain itself. Now, I wanted to find out, you are working with SASCOC. You are saying, is SASCOC working with you? Can you give me a program that you work with SASCOC? And how much was that program, how much did it cost, that program that you worked with SASCOC? And I wanted to find out, you have a communication and IT expenditure, which is 2 million plus. Every year it's 2 million plus. You can check it. What does it entail, the telecommunication and IT? What does it entail? And Chair, unfortunately, did they do it deliberately not to tell us, are they on surplus, on deficit? Technically, these finances, you can question them, because I'm not sure, are they on surplus or are they on deficit? You can question that. How much you wrote there, there's a FIFA football of hope, there's legacy trust. I saw the actual allocation, but what program have you run, and are you aligning those programs, because those are your fund, additional funding or additional sponsors that you receive from other entities or NPOs or any organization or company, so to say. Are you aligning them to sports? Can I not take time? I'll have a second bite. Let me leave it for my colleagues.
Honorable members, I'm noting your questions. Yours are 8, Honorable Mshongo. So everyone must try to give members or else the follow-up. But I'm noting your questions, and I'll be noting the responses of those questions. Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Mashingosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would love to turn off this video because it's giving me a warning. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Greetings to everyone. The DM, DG, Love Life people, and everyone, and the honorable members. Chairperson, for the last 2 years, young people have been seen drinking and having dances. You know, that show young girls dancing with alcohol bottles on their heads. Surely Love Life is nowhere to be found. Love Life is failing to use the social media effectively. Love Life comes to Parliament and ask money for their board of trustees and wherever it's getting paid for. For Love Life story. Love Life should come here and show Parliament what they have done, not what they will be doing. The objectives sound good, but what is Love Life doing about these objectives? What are they are not seen in the social media and in the electronic and print media. How does Love Life treat non-communicable diseases among young people? And how and what do Love Life provide, you know, in terms of psychosocial support? Does Love Life work with clinical psychology? And where is the information distributed? And what is Love Life's recreation league run by Love Life helping these young black kids? What are they, what are these kids going to do with these pebble written papers? What are these papers going to change their lives? And how are they going to change their lives? And some of these kids are wearing flip-flops, but they are pictured as runners. Who are these school coaches that Love Life is talking about? Can you see faces? Can you see names? Can you see the real issues of what's going on here? What do you mean by athletes will be assisted psychologically, psychosocial support? What is psychosocial support? Again, Love Life is very big in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashingosi. Honorable Sundi.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, thank you, Chair. I think I will be very short because my colleagues have answered asked my other questions. Three things quickly, Chair. The first one is the issue of the relations with Love Life, the relations with SASCOC. Honorable Mshongo just passed it through, but I just want to be clear on that. What are their relations with SASCOC in terms of their developmental program?
Chair, on the issue of the skills development, I wish to know which areas of focus, which skills are they offering, how long are they offering per skill, and from which age group. And lastly, on the skills of development, the issue of their baseline in terms of the requirements, and that chair on the skills development, how are they monitoring
youth that have been offered those skills, where they end. If you give me if you train, do you follow me after months, after years, whether those things are worth the budget? I just want to know that, Chair. The last one, Chair, is the issue of the donor funders. How are the additional donor funders assist the Love Life to meet their required needs in terms of their programs in the financial year under review? Because maybe in the outer years, it would be very difficult to go there. But their achievement based on the additional funders, with the exception of the grants from two departments. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Chair. Can I switch off my video, please?
Well, thank you.
Morning, colleagues. Morning, Deputy Minister, DG, and Love Life, and our staff. Let me also welcome the presentation that was done by the DG from the Department and Love Life. The first thing that I want to get clarity from is the issue that every time I'm asking myself a question, Love Life is between the age of 10 to 24, which they are speaking about youth. And according to South African poll, South Africa poll, when we speak about youth, we speak about between the ages of 14 to 35. Because they're dealing with 10 to 24, the remaining from 25 to 35, are there anything that they are doing? Because they're still part of youth from 25 to 35. I just want to find clarity on that, the issue of the age between the 14 to 35, which is youth, is categorized as youth, and the issue from 10 to 24. The other thing that I want to ask about is that their groundbreakers is there for a year. After a year, what are they doing if maybe that groundbreaker is not more than 35 or more than 28, because their groundbreakers are 19 to 28? Or if a groundbreaker is 29 years, does he or she continue as a groundbreaker or not? And then I've seen that National Lottery has not funded Love Life in the financial year 2020. What are the challenges? And also I wanted to know the relationship with SASCOC and the funding, in which the department has a mandate to Love Life, which needed to assist them. I just want to find the clarity whether in all its mandate that has been given, did they achieve all of it? Because what we can see, it can't clearly state where did they achieve, where they never achieve, what are the challenges. So I just want to find out on those issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane. Honorable Dennis.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentations and also for the preparations of the staff for the input assisting us to understand what Love Life is all about. Chairperson, I just would like to ask the Dr. Linda about the 12 trustees. I couldn't pick up if it's volunteers workers or whether they get stipends or paid for meetings. I just wanted to know. And then also there's four trustees specifically four trustees amongst the 12 people. The rest are, in my opinion, board members for specific roles. So just the definition is board of trustees. So I just wanted clarity on that, if it's all volunteers or if they get paid. And then the reason for social development not funding them, I think it's 3.7 million rand, a lot of money. Is it because of financial cut in the budget, or is it because the programs that LifeLife do doesn't align with their objectives or their mandate? And then the looting that took place last month, Chairperson, I would like to know if LifeLife were affected, their programs, the areas where they work, and maybe they can assist us, assist government giving us a message. What do we say to young people, the youth who's affected by that, and how do we move forward and build their confidence and participation? Chairperson, I would like to know if the department is included in all these programs that has been spelled out, activity plans, invited, and if the department is part of, or is it just independent, they do it on their own, or that is the department was the LifeLife all the time when they roll out these programs in partnership with the department. I would like to caution about the budget that was put up, and thanks for the transparency on some of the information, but 17 million rand for staff costs against 29 million for training and workshops and events, it's just too close. And it's like any other entity we struggle with, where not most, but a lot of money, too much money spent on staff. So I would just advise them to work on that as well. I know they pay stipends, but it's still, if you want to look at the budget, quite a bit of money is going to staff. Also, my last point, Chairperson, is I would like to know if I look at the other funders, I would like to know, I didn't see the provinces on there, so I'd like to know why they don't approach the provincial governments or the provincial parliaments for funding, because they do work in the provinces. And of course, the other information we will unpack when we look at the annual reports. When the department present the annual report, and we will specifically look at what our LifeLife fits into that, the picture of the department. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to ask questions, and thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Dennis, Honourable Sian.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the Deputy Minister, delegation of the department led by the DG, delegation of LifeLife led by the CEO, and our support staff. Let me also join colleagues in welcoming the presentation. Just to take the Honourable Denise question forward. How is the Board of Trustees appointed? And if they are getting a stipend, is it possible to disclose how do they pay out the stipend? Chair, I am worried about, should I call it marketing or popularization of LifeLife and its programs, because they are not visible, especially in rural areas. They are really not visible. So I just wanted to check their programs as far as making the popularizing their programs, because even on social media, whilst we have an adolescent population of approximately 10 million, but they have very few followers. On Facebook, for example, 74,000. On Twitter, about 15,000. And so on. After they are slide 43. Now, to me, that means they are not accessible to the target population that they want to work with. So if they can take us through on that one. Secondly, how do they access schools? Do they have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Basic Education, especially on issues of school sports, or how do they do it? In our last engagement with the Love Life, as a committee, we complained about the impact of their programs, and they promised that they will do impact assessment. Can I check how far are they with the impact assessment? And do they think their programs are effective in as far as their plans are concerned? And in there, somewhere they reported about recreational leagues. As we move around our constituencies, we see community sport clubs struggling. And Club Lives, one of their objectives is to assist community sports. How do these community clubs access Club Life? Because they are in rural areas. My last question, Chair, is that for now, it is reported that they have a challenge with cash flow. Can they please elaborate more on that one? Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siams.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning to all on the platform, Deputy Minister, the invitees in the department. Thank you, Chairperson. And also, I will also appreciate the presentation from Love Life. Chairperson, my question will be to Love Life. I saw in the introduction, the youngest age group started from 10 to 24 years. Those are the children who are already in grade 2 or 3. What about our early childhood development? How can Love Life assist these kids at ECD centers to develop their minds? If you not starting from the foundation phase, it will be hard to change or develop their minds. My request will be that Love Life look into the matter of early childhood development program. No programs of Love Life programs are at schools. Sports are dying at schools because they don't get assistance from such structure. Chairperson, Love Life indicates in the program that they involved in the promotion sport participation and training of coaches in schools. Is there an MOU in place between Love Life and the Department of Education? And I will appreciate a list of names where Love Life operating in all provinces. How many online platforms or educational webinars has Love Life conducted since the lockdown began? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also morning to all the everybody on the platform. Thank you for the presentation and also for the staff for the proper preparation. My questions, I'm not sure if I missed this, but why has Love Life not yet published their 2020 annual report on their website? Slide 4, Loveland, it says that they will continue to work with SASCA, and in specifically setting training programs that are aimed at improving the capacity of coaches, managers, etc. If you can just explain this, how this works, who are the people that are involved? Are they trained coaches? Or in what capacity, with what educational background? I also want to know about the MOU, as previous colleagues have requested, around with regard to the Department Basic Education. Then it also says that on slide 7, that 316 school coaches were trained through the Love Life Coach Program. If you can just explain to me how specifically this works. Slide 5. It says that to maximize access to school recreation and physical education in every school in South Africa. Is it possible that you can give us stats on this? Maybe not now, but in writing, which schools are included? Because this statement is also very broad, and I want to know how you create this maximize this access. Because there's quite a problem in the rural areas in this regard. Then also, there were recently a few media statements in the media regarding sexual abuse in sport, which involves coaches. In what way does Love Life as a role player with SASCA get involved in addressing this? From your side, how do you ensure that athletes are not abused or create awareness programs? Are you involved in anything regarding this? My first question is on slide 41. It mentioned or said that in terms of the establishment of 160 community sports clubs, did Love Life establish all these clubs? And can you maybe give an indication, if not now, maybe in writing, which communities were the clubs in which were they established, and how many sport people in these communities are members of the clubs? Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. Now, may I give it back to Love Life to respond?
Thank you, Your Honourable Chairperson. I'll try my utmost to respond to what, but there were quite a few questions, and what I missed out between my colleagues and I hope we'll be able to cover. The Board of Trustees does the work that they do on a voluntary basis. So we don't pay anything to the members of the Board of Trustees. And then in terms of the roles of the various members, so there is the main board that has got the subcommittee of the board. And what you would have seen, which I think the honorable member was asking about in terms of their roles, is that the role of each board member in relation to the committee of the board on which they sit. So, for example, there would be a governance audit and risk committee that does all the work that's related to risks and governance and so on, and takes that the work that's been done to the board for approval or whatever the issue would be. Similarly, there would be a programs committee, there would be a remunerations and personnel committee. So when I'm talking about independent, all the board trustees who sit on those committees are really not in any way employed by Love Life. They do that work in their role as the board members who serve on staff committees of the board. In terms of the activities that we do, numbers per activity, we didn't bring it to this forum, but it is work that we report to the department on a monthly and then on a quarterly basis. So the DDG, when she was presenting, talked to the fact that we report on the operations and the financials. So every month, we give the department a view of what were the targets that were set and to what extent were those targets met or not met and the reasons. And the main driver where we struggle with meeting of targets would be linked to the timing of when we get funding. So we very
cautious around using funding that we would get from one funder to implement for another funder while we are waiting for money to be received. So we try our utmost to ensure that the funding that comes from Department of Sports, Arts and Culture is only used for Department of Sports and Arts and Culture implementation, and that there isn't a cross use of funding. So when money comes in late, as was the case in the last fiscal year where we got the funding in January, it would definitely compromise our ability to meet targets that were intended to be met from April to March of the following year. We would be keen to circulate then the final quarter's report, which shows then the targets for the year versus what we were able to achieve in that financial year. Then with regard to the financial position or financial performance of the organization, we reported a surplus last year. It's just that what we were trying to, we had submitted also the audited financials, but to the honorable member's question, we did report a surplus, and again, we can ask for the audited financials to be recirculated to the committee so you can see what those numbers look like. But I think I must say that the main drivers of the surpluses that we generate are really the what we would charge to the corporates, because we don't have this regimented, you know, 55-35-10. We can charge up to 20% of what they give us as funding to go directly to overhead. So that is speaking to the financial. The 2020 annual report is not yet on the website because it has not been finalized. It's a work in progress, and it should be on the website by the end of, by the middle of September. In terms of the age groups, we really, earlier of the groundbreakers, we try to ensure that we don't take groundbreakers that are older than 24 as far as we possibly can, because like we indicated earlier on, what we have seen work is a peer education model, and so we want the groundbreakers to be really within the post-matric age group, but within the 25-year age group. And to the question of what happens to groundbreakers when they finish their groundbreakership, some of them go back to school and continue into tertiary. Some of them are able to get employment on the basis of the fact that they've had a 1 or 2 year program as a groundbreaker, and so they have gotten the skills to be able to get into a workplace and to be able to work, because they've had that discipline of getting up, going to work, meeting targets, and so on. So that's one of the things. So those are really the two main things that normally happen with groundbreakers, is that they either go back to school or they get into tertiary as far as is possible for them. In terms of the age group, we really, when Love Life was first formed, it was about what is the age that we can try to capture young people at, so that by the time they're getting into early adult years, we've kind of laid the foundation for them to successfully continue with their lives. And that is really the driver of why 10 to 24 would be the ideal age to help them through the adolescent years and all the challenges that come through with adolescence. But it would be really, really a stretch to say that as one organization can cater from ECD all the way to 35. It would be impossible to be able to do that. So we have worked with the age group that is most vulnerable when it comes to decisions around their sexual health, decisions around how to navigate adolescence and early adult years. National Lottery, we did submit a proposal last year to them, which they turned down.
because, you know, and advise, by the time we got the response from them in terms of the proposal that we had submitted, I think it was about October, and when we talked, you know, made a follow-up on that, they advised that we wait for the fall for this year, because chances are that we would be turned down again, given the time frame that would be required from the time that they review the proposal to when implementation has done. So we are in the process of resubmitting a proposal to the national lottery. How do we monitor youth who have left the program? We try, we keep a database of those young people, and we do try to keep track of where they are and what they're doing, but sometimes it's just not always possible, because from the time that we started the groundbreaker program in 2001 to now, there's literally thousands of young people that have gone through the program. I didn't quite understand how the question around how are donor funds assessed. But with each donor, as with the Department of Sport, whatever is going to be implemented is signed on as part of the annexures to the service level agreement. And we agree on what are the activities, what are the targets for each activity, and then we report back on those activities. We did an impact assessment on our overall programmatic offering. The last impact assessment that we did was at the end of 2018, and since we're about to go into a new strategy year, what we have opted to do is to then be able to do an assessment just before we start the new year to see what are the gaps in what we have been doing to be able to ensure that when we go into the new strategic period, we don't go with those gaps in our programs. The comment around staff costs is noted, and we actually have a meeting scheduled with the DG for this month of August to engage on what the impacts will be in seeing the reduction in staff and how we can then meet each other or work together to have that reduction that does not end up in a halt to what we are able to do, or a massive reduction in what we are able to do. The access of schools, we currently don't have a valid MOU with the Department of Education, and it's something that we have been following up with on a regular basis. But what we have, because we've been working in these schools for such a long time, that the principals know who Love Life is, they know what the work we do is, and so they are open to us having our groundbreakers go in there, provided, obviously, that we've ensured that the coordinators have gone to the school to introduce the groundbreakers to the principal, that we give them gear that makes them easily recognizable to the school when they go in there. I think those are and then the request for lists of names of communities, and also, like I said, the report of the overall implementation that was done in the last fiscal year. We will be able to circulate that accordingly. So Beryl and Christina, please can you cover the questions that I would have left out here?
Thank you, Dr. Linda. On the issue of IT, why the cost is so high, it's because it's for all the 15 offices all over the country, it's nationally. And then that if you do a rough calculation of all of them for 12 months, you get about about 22,000 per office just to run the full IT infrastructure. And then it also includes telephones, internet, and then the servers as well. And then the other issue, Dr. Linda, I'm not sure you touched on it, is on the issue of the surplus and deficits that we have shared the financial statements. So I'm not too sure if those was in reference specifically to DSET, but if it's DSET, we don't have surpluses or deficit because the money that's allocated should be utilized towards those specific three categories, so programs, salaries, and then also overheads. But otherwise, organization that will be seen on the financials. And then the other issue was just on the... The cash flow. Yeah, the cash flow issue. Depending on when it was indicated, but the overall issue is just the issue of the late disbursement. So basically, if we don't get funding timely, that affects our cash flow. But besides that, also the issue of cards as well, they also affect operations in that we have to consistently retrench or also cut operational offices in order to align funding to the allocation or the expenses that we have. And then the other issue, I think the calendar you touched on the other items that we're finance related. Thank you.
Good morning again. With regards to the SASCOC question, when we spoke about SASCOC, it's specifically linked to the Coach for Life program. And it was just reinforcing that Coach for Life training program is aligned to the National Coaching Framework, which is monitored or put together by SASCOC. So that's where that link is. And in terms of the coaches that we take through the Coach for Life program, we have coaches that are part of the school sports program, so teachers and community coaches that coach schools, so that when we do our edutainment at the school sports championships at national and provincial level, there's that link with those coaches already and having those difficult conversations with young people in the sports space. And then at community level, those community coaches are part of the community sport program or club development program. So the coaches that we would take do that is where we would get those coaches from. And then around social media. So for the social media slides, it was a bit difficult for me because social media is such a difficult animal. So for me to put together the slides where we're talking about our following. But with social media, it's not just about following, but it's around engagement and reach and so forth, because I cannot, for instance, be following someone on social media, but I still engage with their content. So we get a separate report that's, so the report that I put out was the one that we get from Google Analytics, but we get a separate report from the Meltwater company that breaks down our media channel, breaks down our media channel. So in terms of online, our reach is 6.3 million. With an average of 799,000. On social media, it's a reach of 5.5 million with an average of 550,000. Print, we have a reach of 102,000. And on broadcast, we have a reach of 87,000 average. So that's what the Meltwater report gives us. But in terms of the presentation, I couldn't put that kind of reach, because if someone had to go on the Love Life Facebook page, for example, and sees what how many people follow us, that connection wouldn't be made. But in terms of the Meltwater report, which we are also happy to share, that's what our numbers look like on social media. And then in terms of the programmatic objectives around FIFA and the glorious, for those specific fundings, it's specific around Sport for Good for Laureus and for the Football for Hope when we get the money from FIFA. So it's around giving young people safe spaces to play, giving them opportunities to play regularly, and have those soft skills that come from engagements at during sport and playing sport and recreation activities. In terms of the skills development, currently at our Y centers we have a computer program that we run CyberWise, and then we also have business and entrepreneurship training where we teach young people to come up with co-ops and become young entrepreneurs. We do monitor those. We check to see how well these young people are doing. I think in the last presentation I did share around the young man who is now fixing cell phones from the training that we had done at the Y Center. So he has a little booth at our Y Center. So they are success stories. So we are able to put those together and possibly share those and link those to being just the number versus real life-changing experiences for young people. And then in terms of, I think someone did ask around POEs, and the POEs are submitted to the department every quarter. So with all the numbers that we have in our narrative report, they're supported by attendance registers and so forth for the young people who have actually attended those. I think that was it. Thank you.
So, Kangoma, are you happy that all your team answered the questions?
I think, Jay, from the ones that I had captured, yes, I think there are others that may have missed.
Can I check? I've noticed that there was a question of that how are the province get in assisting your projects. I didn't hear you reflecting whether they do contribute. And also, I didn't hear clearly what have you say about the assistance of clubs in rural areas. I'll give the honorable members to do the follow-ups, and then you must listen, all of you, and take notes. I've seen these following hands. We are doing follow-ups. We still have our own time. We're doing well with the time. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Madlingosi, in that order. The Honorable Knox Siabi, in that order. Can you start, Honorable Mhlongo? Now, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not satisfied with the first answer yet. We only got this achievement to the department. I think it's uncalled for them to report only to the department. They must even report to us. Did they achieve all the four objectives? No, they report to the department. My question was not even allocated. I'm saying there's a number of activity, numbers of people involved, but there's no allocation. How much was that you only report a doctor to the department? Which is another question. Where are the offices? 14 offices. Can you get their physical address? Since the IT is only for now I'm following up on because the IT is 2.0. It goes to per month is 22,000 roughly, and then it's saying 15 offices. Where are those offices? Can we get those physical address of those offices? Last question, which was not answered, and I think your presentation is misleading. You stated clearly that you work with SASCOP, but now you are saying you are using their materials. Now, it's a different two stories. I think you must clean your report. Another issue, how do you measure the outcome? Because I was saying I cannot measure the outcome. Maybe you've reported to the department. Can you tell us how do you measure those outcomes? Chairperson, lastly, I think there's a duplication of work here. You are doing well, but you are duplicating work. You are duplicating. The vision is fine. I don't ever promote the vision. But the department is giving you money, NGO, other entities or NGO departments, they give you money. It's duplication of work. And I don't support that you are working with the department, but there's no MOU. It's wrong. Irrespective that the principal knows you or not. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khlongo. Honorable Maringos.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know. My questions were just anyway. I will still ask again that the picture that South Africa is having today is having young kids playing with liquor and all those negative pictures that are being shown on social media. It shows that Love Life is failing to use the social media. It doesn't whether they follow each other or not, but it is just failing to take a stand. But the money that are being paid into Love Life for them to do their job, but they're not doing it. And another question that I asked that they never heard, like, is how is Love Life reducing non-communicable diseases among young people? What is that? That means a lot of money. How are they doing it? And how are they dealing with the psychosocial support? What do they mean by that? And do they use clinical psychologists? What are they doing about it? And where is that information being distributed to? And on top of that, why are they having these pictures of these young boys that are wearing flip-flops? They say it's a recreational league run by Love Life. What are they bluffing? You know, what does that mean? You know, having all of these boys that are hungry looking with flip-flops and say that they, with all these you know, paper, people, you know, piece of paper. What are they doing? What is this? And these school coaches, can we see faces and names of these coaches? Not like they know that we come. No. I can only say that, no, I know I go there and do that, but we need information, written information and with pictures. These are the people that are doing this. Not like, no, we did go there and all that, and that's it. Then Parliament should believe that and understand it. No, it doesn't work like that. So all my questions were just looked over and they passed. I didn't say nothing, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlengos. Honorable Siani.
Thank you once more, Chair, and to our colleagues. I think the Chair has already raised the question of how do community sport clubs within our constituencies access Love Life programs, because they are in rural areas. Two, I ask the question as to how is the Board of Trustees appointed? And three, of course, they only answered part of the social media. I said one is concerned about their marketing and popularization platforms, because especially in rural areas, they are not visible. People don't know about Love Life and their programs and how to access it. And the other question that was not answered is in our last engagement with Love Life, as a committee, we're worried about the impact of their programs on society, and they promised that they are going to do impact assessment. Was it done? How far are they with that impact assessment? And do they think that their programs have a positive effect on the society? Those were my questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. As I hoping that now they've taken the notes, I'm also wanting to say all the follow-up questions, even the first questions, if you don't have the specific numbers, would love that you must forward to the office in order that the office must circulate to the members. Because as we're sitting here, all of us were having our own constituency offices where we are looking after the communities, and that's why we are keen to get your work that we are doing with the communities. Some are communities in urban, some in rural. I can come from rural, poor area, from Mthatha, everywhere, but maybe sometimes I'm deployed in a suburb, again, on top of my home villages. And I am sure even in these urban areas, I do want to get information. For instance, if I'm deployed in Western Cape and we do have farm areas, we do have locations, your Langa, your Kukuletu, your Kayelisa. I've seen that your Cape Town flats you have indicated, in order that we must, when we're coming back, saying that we've experienced and we've seen what we are talking about. If now out of this meeting, you can forward that information in those words also I'm adding to the honorable members. Now it's your time, Dr. Mkomo, and your colleagues to give us some follow-up questions, responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, the reports that we have been submitting around activities, around budgets, and the portfolio of evidence, we will submit through the office that would then be able to disseminate that information through to you. So you will be then able to see for each activity what is the allocated budget and what were the targets that were set and what were the targets that were reached. So we will be able to share that information to you. With regard to the pictures of young people using alcohol, I think it's important to note that what we do as an organization is we share the information with young people, we educate them, as part of the deliverables that are under alcohol and substance abuse, we educate them around healthy sexual practices, but we have got absolutely no influence on what they then go away and do. So I think it would be quite a high expectation for any organization to claim that they control the behavior. We can share the information, we can share the stats of the dangers of binge drinking, of whatever abuse of a substance that they do, but it's then up to them to decide what they do with the information. Some, and I think the greater majority, will take that into account and will behave responsibly, while there'll be others who won't. Just as in the adult population, we also will see adults dancing with savannas on their heads. Mm. You know, they know the dangers, but they've chosen that they are still not going to comply with the regulations that have been issued by the highest office in the land. So I think it is important that we position ourselves as an organization that says we're promoting youth health education, we're going to talk to young people, we're going to
talk about young people, we want to contribute to outcomes around, let's get them to exercise so that they don't have, you know, they don't incur the diseases that come with a sedentary lifestyle. Let's get them creating youth needs or recreational needs in the community. Let's take wood camps to youth centers where young people can walk in and be able to exercise so that we don't have to deal with juvenile diabetes that comes from a sedentary lifestyle and so on. Psychosocial support is really talking to the mental wellness of young people that we offer. We have got a contact center where nobody pays to access a counselor at the Love Life Psychosocial Support Center. And the qualifications of the people in those centers vary from some are social workers and some are psychologists and some are lay counselors. But young people are able to send a please call me to a number and a counselor calls them back so they don't incur that cost. And they can start to get the counseling that they need with from the team that was in the contact center. They are able to be referenced, referred to the nearest clinic if they need to go into a clinic and get some form of biomedical intervention. So when we're talking about psychosocial support, we're talking to what do we do to contribute to the mental well-being of young people. The young people wearing flip-flops that attended an event, I can't speak to what they were wearing during the event, but it is an event that happened. And when we do have events and report on them, there's always a portfolio of evidence that we submit. And I'm sorry, I'm going to keep saying to the department, not to disrespect this committee, but to say that, you know, with everything that we do, there is some, we report it back to the department because that's the people we interact with on a monthly basis in terms of reporting. And we submit the portfolios of evidence. So so that's all that I can speak to in terms of the young. So it's possible that during the event they were not wearing flip-flops, and by the time the photograph that was taken, that they were. The faces, the names of coaches, I think that's information that can be provided in terms of who were the coaches that provided the training, when did they provide it, what were the dates and the places and so on. I think there was also a request for the list of where our offices are, the addresses. That can also will be submitted as part of the documents that we say we're going to submit. The appointment of board members, the process that is followed, is there's a two-pronged process. There are people that will call, send through an email with the CV and express an interest, a part of the board, or there'll be referrals from either current board members or former board members where there is an interest. And once those CVs are submitted, they are then, as much as possible, we want to try to get people to be more involved in committees of the board as part of the preparation process for them to be appointed to the main board. So those CVs are shared with the different portfolios, the subcommittee portfolios, to see where there is a fit. And if those committees are happy with the CVs, then they are taken to the remunerations committee, and from there, then they are taken to the board. So that is the process that is followed when board appointments are being done. In terms of visibility in rural areas, I think the question would then become, which rural areas? Are we talking about visibility in the places where we have agreed with the department that's where we would be deploying activities or young people? Or are we talking a general statement? Because like we indicated at the start, We've got 200 young people, so we cannot be in more than the 200 communities that we are implementing our programs through. And then I think I'll handle some of the remaining questions are really program aligned. So Beryl, if you could just talk to the question that's around the provincial involvement in programs, how the recreational leagues are created and run, measurement of outcomes, constituencies of assessing of defects, and the program impact. Do we believe that programs have an impact? We do believe that our programs do make a difference in the lives of young people. However, I would be the first person to say we constantly are looking at what are the gaps. And there was an assessment that was done by CIMA that did highlight some of the gaps that we are now working towards closing. And again, that's a report that I would be happy to share with you. And like I also indicated earlier in answering that impact assessment report, once we have got the program strategy that will support the organizational strategy approved. Again, we have already applied for funding from UNAIDS to enable us to work with a research specialist that can help us to define programs that are going to be relevant going forward in terms of what young people are currently facing. Chairperson, please, can I hand over then to the head of programs to speak to those elements that are programmatic?
Thanks, Ms. Kusum. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you,
Chair. In terms of the recreation leagues are started by groundbreakers in their communities. So, in the empty spaces, when we spoke to the department about this specific area, it was around how you'd drive through communities and you'd see facilities that are put up by whether it's the municipality or the departments, and those facilities are not being used. And we were saying that if we could have recreation leagues that are run by groundbreakers or young people from those communities, knowing other young people within that space who'd be interested. So it's also part of the groundbreakers development around saying, how do you do community mapping? How do you find out from the community what their needs are? Putting together a program or a league that speaks to the community in a way that resonates with that community. So that's what a groundbreaker would do first, do his or her mapping, speak to young people, find out what they'd be interested in, and then they'd start the league like that. And then they'd say, okay, within the league, who would be the referees? How are we going to draw up our logs? And all of those things. So it incorporates those soft skills so that young people are able to do these things on their own. And then, excuse me, how do we market sports clubs? How do we support community clubs with access to our Love Life Y Centers? So that's also the role of our coordinators within the provincial or the regions where we are based, where those constant communication between sports structures in those areas, the way the communication happens there. And when we had put this in our business plan to say we want to be able to strengthen the club development program, when we were saying, okay, clubs should have regular meetings. Where do they meet? They can meet at the Y centers. Where can they practice? At Y centers where there are facilities, they can have their practice sessions there. And then also having our coordinators assist in terms of putting together information for that club, where there's documents and so forth to be printed. The Y Center has those facilities, so that's where the support comes in terms of community coaching and building that the capacity of community clubs in that way. And then in terms of, I would really like to answer the SASCA question. If someone could please give me an indication in the chat box on which slide specifically that is, so that I can just comment on that, because the only area was around the development of the Coach for Life program within the coaching framework, which is done by SASCA. So please, if someone can just pop me that message and so I'll quickly look at that. And then also just to speak to, Doc, just remind me, please. This other area.
Can I assist?
Yes, please.
Dr. Nkomo and the your colleagues, I'm suspecting that some of the questions, they are going to need follow-up, but because this is our last round before I'm giving to the DG, for instance, if we are talking about the provincial reps, and then when you're saying, when you are talking about the rural areas, and you're saying we cannot be general, we are not generalizing. It's one of those things that you want information in order that we must know, and you mention those areas that we are engaged within rural areas. As we are saying that, and now the one response is this, that you do have the provincial reps, which means provincial reps are going to link with the regions. That's what we want. So it's there when we are going to say yes, even the rural areas are taking care. But you cannot say that we must not generalize about rural areas. We know what we are saying. We want to see the information in papers. So I'm suspecting that what members have asked so far, you have responded, but reality is that we are not saying we must not account to the department, but when we are being invited by a committee, we will want also the information, but the information which is not with us today, we are giving you that benefit of doubt that you would forward to us. But I'm very sensitive about the rural areas when we talk about, because we know the apartheid system, what has done to our rural areas, which there are no infrastructure. We're not saying that we are responsible about everything, but we want to see your impact as the honorable members, I wanted you to tell us about your impact in your program. So it cannot be impact if we don't raise the rural areas, and we are not generalizing that all rural, just when we are focused, we want that information. I'm suspecting that honorable members, by this, let me give it to UDG, that with the DDG Sumaya to do what they can say about all what we've got today and the question and the responses. By this time, our DM, I'm suspecting, if I'm not mistaken, he's now boarding. She is boarding, as she told us that she is on in transit. But if maybe wherever she is can say something, but according to myself and your good members, she asked an hour to be with us. He's taking a 12 o'clock flight
and she's supposed to drive where she was. In those words, DG, back to your office. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Can I check at DDG if you've got any comment on any of the issues raised without really being a lololol, just to the point of gaps which will close, and then I will just make a last comment on our partnership. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DJ. Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. DJ, if I may just indicate, you know, when we presented the slide, we indicated areas that we collaborate with Love Life. Now, if we look at those programs, they always delivered with timelines, with a project plan, etc. And Love Life is always part of the organizing committee in terms of the roles that they play in those programs. For example, in the youth camps, they have the camp stewards that are trained, and they facilitate the training during the youth camps, etc. So they're part of, they involved in the program, in organizing committees, and running those programs, so they're involved there. The same with the school sport championships, etc. They provide support at the school sport program. They put a program that actually augments the school sport championships, because if you come to the championship, it's not only about, you know, all the competitions, but Love Life will have their tent and they run a program. So when athletes or when teams are not participating, then they go to the Love Life tent there, and there's a program that's run for them there at the tent. And the same happens with all the other events, the Big Walk, the Move for Health, that in addition to making sure that participants come to the events, that they also run a life skills program at those events as well. So that's how the department is involved there. DG, Chairperson DG, again, we do... In terms of the funding that we give to Love Life, there is a business plan that they send to us. And then we engage with them with the business plan. And in the business plan, we will then indicate, they would come with proposals. We would interrogate it, and then we would then agree that, yes, there is an absence, or these are the schools in the school sport program. They have, because we get it from the Department of Basic Education, schools that are in the school sports program by virtue of the fact that they register with the Department of Basic Education. So Love Life will then say that maybe that reach hasn't got to all the schools, because in terms of our own funding, we are also limited in which schools we can reach. So Love Life will then come in those areas where perhaps the school sport program has not yet gone into, and they then would augment that and provide equipment, attire, and that Coach for Life program that comes out of the SA coaching framework, they would provide that. So that is our interaction with Love Life on all of those activities as well. And then, you know, I think they have also indicated in their presentation some of the interactions that we have with them. But I believe, DG, that going forward, for us, a greater integration in terms of some of the areas that we may not do so well in, like some of our programs, yes, in our school sport and our conditional grant programs, where we have job creation initiatives, where there's sports coordinators, school sports coordinators, community sports coordinators that are employed by the provinces. Through the Groundbreak program, then Love Life then augments that job creation initiative as well. Thank you very much, Gigi. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, Gigi. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, I think firstly, the questions that have been raised are indeed going to help us as we engage more with Love Life, and to focus on the matter, on issues that matter. I think the issues of selection of areas, as they indicated, also working with which areas are covered by the provinces, and therefore where to plug the gaps.
I think some of the methods that have been used. But I think with the advice from the members, based on their questions, on really zooming in on where should we make the huge impact and make sure that there is no duplicate of effort, we will be engaging, as we do with Love Life, when we look at their business plans. And I think we will ask that the portfolio committee just give us that opportunity on so that we look at how to improve our practice and really reach out to the particularly areas that might need their support more as we embark on a journey to ensure that there is full transformation on the spot. On the budget issue that they have raised about the budget cuts, which is true, we have met with the Life, both in terms of the board as well as the executive, looking at how we can move away from an administrative heavy budget of 55% and change that ratio. However, there were a number of issues they had raised, so we said we're going to work on this as we move forward to make sure that programs are the ones that have got much more of a bigger slice of the budget. But we still have to engage, as the CEO have indicated, and that we are engaging around the issue of the budget. But unfortunately, budget cuts are a reality. We are facing that. And we had to ask, as maybe Honorable Mjongo had indicated, that we look at what are the roles of other departments so that we split our focal area and have clear separation. And I'm happy with the way they have done it now to separate what we fund vis-a-vis what other departments like health fund, because that was one of the areas on our engagement that we wanted absolute clarity. And they think they have done that, but we still have to engage around the issue of budget and how to reprioritize and which areas to cover, even if it means we reduce, because we don't have budget. I must say that there's no additional money. And we have made that absolutely clear that not only Love Life is affected, but it is a number of other programs that get affected by budget cuts that we are facing as a department. And Program 2 was one of the most affected, particularly in the latter year and this year, got budget cuts. So on the issue of the separation of the... On the requested information, we will work with Love Life, Honorable Chairperson, to make sure that we do finish the information requested by the committee and the members, particularly on the questions that were raised, but needed the list of schools or the list of coaches and the list of areas where we are currently having a footprint. And that information is there, and then we will work with the Love Life to then provide that information to the honorable members, of course, following the proper channel. So, Chairperson, however, we do believe that they are playing a crucial role in terms of livelihood.
No,
they have
to say,
they
mute. Thank you. Okay, DJ.
Yes, the last point on the issues around the psychosocial level, as we say that the sooner the young people are trained on these life skills, even if they are sportsmen or women, the better for them. But I think the issues of skills in the various fields of sport are also quite crucial in measuring the impact is one of the things then that members have raised sharply, and we will then work with Love Life, as they've indicated on their report, that they have a report. But I think it's something also we have a vested interest in as a department, and we do have our own processes of doing impact assessment on these programs, that we will collaborate with them to make sure that we know that the money is attaining the outcomes it is intended to achieve in line with the four objectives. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you, DDG. DG and DDG and the whole crew, by now you know that when you are having these meetings like this, we are doing our own oversight. Love Life, questions that you are raising, inputs that you are putting, it's part of our oversight role. So we do an oversight role to the department and to every entity that is being given the money from our department, any monies that we have by those ways. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department and you, Love Life, hoping that the good work that you are doing, you must keep it up. The gaps that you have indicated today, and you must not take it in a very negative way. We want that you must do more than that you are doing. By those words, let me say that we can release you, the department, and your good self.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honourable members.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honourable members.
Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members.
Thank you, honourable members. All of you, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Honorable members, now let's go to the second point. We've tried to manage our time. I'm so happy because sometimes I don't always enjoy that we don't have our enough time even to do follow-ups. I'm happy. I'm suspecting we'll be trying to get what every now and then to monitor even our own ways of doing in our committee meetings. Can we have in the next agenda item the minutes matters arising after that our program? Okay. Yes, these are minutes of 27th of July, briefing by Department of Arts and Culture, repatriation policy briefing. Let's go up.
honorable members. Honorable members, these are draft minutes of the meeting of the 27th of July. I'm putting the minutes to you, honorable members. Honorable Bondi, honorable Siabe.
The minutes are the true reflection of our discussion on the 27th of July, so I'm all for the adoption. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Siabi, I've seen your hand.
I second the motion, Chair.
Any other who are not seconding? If not, we do agree. I'm taking this opportunity to say that we are adopting these draft minutes as true reflection of our discussion. Thank you, honorable members. Let's go to matters arising. If there's nothing that you want to say, I'm passing that point also.
Chaps.
Yes, honorable member.
Chair, I think matters arising on this one, I think, can you consider the last page where it says SASCOC suing South Africa sexual harassment? I think it's an agent issue on it. So now I request that we put it on our schedule as one of the priorities. Thank you, Chair.
Noted, honorable Mshongo. I'm suspecting you raised this in order that when we're coming to the next item with program, we must know what we are saying. Who's calling me?
Chairperson, it's Veronica. With regard to the SASCOC issue, I also want to bring to your attention that I put forward a FOIA with regards to the Goldman report regarding the harassment in the entity. That there was an investigation, but I'm getting no response. So I want to bring it to the attention of yourself and also the committee that they must put pressure that they bring that must be submitted to the committee.
Noted. We'll take care of it immediately after the meeting. I will talk to the administration, our secretaries of committee. Thank you, Honorable Van Dijk. Any other issue, honorable members? Thank you, honorable members. We are passing now this question of matters arising. To our administrators, can you flight in the proposed program that we must look at it? Honorable members, can we look at Tuesday, August, which is today, we've done about this. And then next Tuesday, 24th, the proposal is briefing by the Cultural and Creative Industries Federation of South Africa, CIFSA, on their financial statements, progress made to date, and how this body, especially this time of the COVID-19, is supporting practitioners in the cultural and the creative sector. I don't think that this one we can do our way. We can shift this one. I'm suspecting from our oversight, it was an issue, this question of CIFSA. Can I propose that let's look at point two? Do you think that this briefing of advisory team, can we not take it down in order that we must prioritize it's either SASCOC or basketball? Can
Can you comment on this, honorable members? Yes, honorable Mushango.
I think it's so important because some of the members are still the part of the minister's advisory team. Now I'll say let's leave it as is for that day, both SIFSA and the minister's advisors. There's a convolution when you see membership.
Okay. Honorable members, we are all agreeing that the next Tuesday, let's leave as it is.
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. And then after that, it's 31st August. Briefing, I don't think even that briefing by Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, that one we need it for a very important programs that are going to follow after this update by the boundary recommendation of the quarterly report, consideration adoption of committee minutes. Say something, honorable members.
When is the closing date?
Now you are developing something that I don't know, I'm going to tangle. We all not raise the hands. We'll pick both of you. Like now, Honorable Mhlongo speaking, Honorable Siyabi speaking. Can we handle ourselves in order that we must finish? Honorable Mhlongo and Honorable Siyabi.
Yeah, I don't have an apology. Chair, I don't have a problem leaving it, but I wanted to find out. We usually get these reports and things have been done 6 months ago. Now, is it legislated that we must deal with these items while we have mid-term reports? Now, do you have any closing date for this item to be dealt with, if any, for us to deal with it? Is there any closing date?
Honorable Siyabe?
Thanks, Chair. I also wanted to ask this almost a similar question as to whether it is in line with the, whether we still have time or we don't have time, we have to deal with the quarterly performance report, or can we, if we can be advised, if we can, we still have time to postpone it. If we do, I would move that we postpone it. If we don't, we are compelled by legislation, then we'll have to leave it there.
We did discuss with the Secretariat, Jabu or Zoleka, get in. Jabu, Zoleka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The quarterly report will assist the committee in preparation for the BRRR. So I think it's important that we deal with it so that we can deal with our BRRR thereafter. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, that's how we discuss it. Are you happy? And according to the program, Zoleka, the BRRRs are just in September. So I'm suspecting we need to prepare.
Chairperson Dennis Joseph, yeah?
Yes, the Honorable Dennis.
The question is, Tuesday is the only day the committee can meet? Or is
no.
There another day?
It's only day, but we can ask permission for other days. As you know, we usually do that. So if now members can propose any other day, but I'm suspecting we prioritize this first quarter performance report because of the coming debates on the BRRRs. So
can we engage our good selves according to that? Honorable Siyabe, let me put the Honorable Siyabe and Honorable Mhlongo. I'm sorry, I didn't look at the participants. Yes.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think I also wanted to suggest that because seemingly items on the program are really needed, can we request for one Friday? Either the coming Friday or the next Friday, so that we look at the urgent matter, that one of basketball, and we can combine it with the SASCOC, sexual harassment. I mean swimming South Africa, sexual harassment, if we are allowed to have a meeting on the coming Friday or next week Friday, if it's possible.
Honorable members, we are agreeing that even this briefing by Robben Island is so important to us, and then there is a Tuesday 14 briefing by SASCOC and Swimming South Africa. So what Honorable Siyabe is talking about the items that were already on the program. Maybe can we say that, Honorable Members, let's take this program with this proposal from Honorable Members, in order that myself and the Secretariat, we must try to jungle about that, all what was that are very urgent. Let's prioritize your basketball, your SASCOC, which is already in the program, and then your swimming sexual harassment. So if we can, you can move upwards on so in order that the members, they must see what was the initial draft proposal, in order that they must maybe say to us the priorities, in order that we must sit down, that we must know which items we are asking for a special meeting day. I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Mhlongo. I'm suspecting by that a mandate getting from the committee, we can make it happen. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Malomani, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm fine, but remember we gave you a task to do that in our previous meeting. And for us to now and then postpone it, I think it's wrong. And my proposal, I support Babu Siyabe, but let's remove Isanabu and put a basketball. Sanabo, they usually come, and yes, there's nothing much. Now, on the day 14, if I get me basketball instead of Sanabo, that is my suggestion. But we cannot give it to you again. We gave you last time. We're supposed to approve it today. Thank you.
Honorable Mhlongo, I disagree by what you are saying to me. This is the draft program, which we put it on you, but there was an email that was circulated to all of us according to the agenda. We were saying that let's look at the basketball, which was not prioritized in this program, which is in front of you. We were not going to say this is a program. This is a draft program that wanted your endorsement. You cannot accuse me, my comrades, Honorable Malomani and Honorable Siyabe.
Yeah, there's a point of clarity before Malomani.
You have done the clarity. I'll give you the clarity after the other hands. Malomani.
Thank you, Chair. I think the proposal that was made by Honorable Siyabe, that let's do it on Friday. But But let it not be this Friday. Let it be next week Friday. I'm supporting that one. Thank you. Cheers.
Honorable Knox, Honorable Dennis, and Honorable Mshongo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. In addition to the support by Honorable Maloman, I was going to say the proposal by the chairperson is also assisting us. Because you remember in the last meeting, if you check our minutes, we said the program is adopted with amendments, but it will be brought to the attention of members as a final product. Now, during the course of the process, there are issues that emerged which need our urgent attention, including the Tokyo Olympics and so on and so on. So I would say members have made their views, and the proposal by the chairperson, in addition to what members have said, that if there's any other thing, let's allow the chairperson and her management to look at it and distribute it to members, and members will comment if there's a need to discuss it in the meeting, including requesting the next Friday, as members are saying, not this one, but the next Friday, so that we are able to go on with our work. So we don't know what will emerge between now and next week, Tuesday. If something emerges that needs the committee's attention and its agent, then the chairperson and the administrators are able to look at that. I don't think it's a difficult thing to do. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Knox, Honorable Dennis, and Honorable Song.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, I supported the concept of the Friday. I wanted to ask if we must give yourself and the staff that will deal with setting up the Friday request for an agendas, if we can't slot in two Fridays, and we have four, then we can do four agenda points on two Fridays, if it's possible in the term, so that we can have four agenda items, and then make quite a lot of progress in this term with important matters as raised by yourself and the other members. Otherwise, I'm saying we should go for not just one Friday next week or when possible approve, but for two Fridays in the term. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Mshongo. Honorable Mshongo.
Let me clarify. I'm not accusing you. Check on my minutes, Chair. I think Honorable Siabe, opened up my minutes accordingly. You had time to present this, yes, and you even identified the basketball with the issue. Now I'm saying to you, today we're supposed to approve this, because last time when I checked, we wanted the full final program where it must be adopted by us. And I was told that the chair did not approve it yet. That's why we don't have a program, so to say. Now, I'm not accusing you. I'm saying let's not delay us to adopt our quarterly plan. That's what I'm saying. I'm not accusing you, but I'm saying the more you're saying you're going back and you come back, we're delaying the actual plan. But I support you, Babu Siabu. Let's have that Friday. And my proposal, another thing, I'm still interrogating. Let's not have more item in one day. Because today I think you've managed it well. We have, because it's only one item. The more we cluster items, we won't have time to engage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. For the progress sake, Honorable Members, thank you for the supporting of the draft program, that it must have blessings from this committee. By that, thank you so much, Honorable Members. We'll do what you're asking us to do. I'm seeing other hands, or these are
old hands? Can you lower your hands? If you don't, can I call you again? Okay. Thank you so much, honorable members of this committee, with your dedication to your work. And also, I must thank those members who managed out of very tight, squeezing times of the public hearing. Let me thank all those members, those who managed to come, and those who didn't will have our bite when we're together. And by now, honorable members, I'm suspecting that our meeting now is closed.
Excuse me, madam. I'm sorry, madam chair, I can't raise my hand. But I just wanted to bring to the attention of the committee that basketball will have their elections on Saturday, on the 28th. So I'm not sure if we have a meeting on the 27th, that is the Friday, if it is possible for them to actually join, or they will be preparing for the elections.
Thank you for that. Honorable members, give it to us to check, because I'm suspecting one hot potato to themselves is this conference. If we can, as we've done last time with SASCOC when they were having some problems, that we asked them to come and brief us and then to do an oversight. Can you give us now that mandate, that let's see what can we do about the basketball, taking care of what Honorable Mhlongo said, that let's not grab too many things in our agenda, but by mere looking of things, I'll talk to the administrators, and then I'll come back to you with emails, honorable members.
Thank you, honorable member.
The trust that you are giving to me and the collective of our secretaries, the meeting now is adjourned.
Malibongwe. Thank you, Chairperson. Malibongwe.
No other female
honorable Mhlongo must know that he is a nonsense.
Where is Mhlongo? That's your man. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is closed.
Thank you, Chair. Have a nice day. Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
Recording.